to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the Elders Meeting After Show, where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
I feel like that I would be far too intimate with this microphone if I got any closer.
Like Sandy might get jealous.
Yeah, some of the microphones up on the stage have lipstick all over them.
Oh, nice.
Kind of gross.
Is that from you or?
Yeah, mostly mine.
You guys want to? I have some math jokes to share.
Oh, yes, please.
Well, at least I have some. Sometimes hard to tell the difference, but it's a product of my creative mind.
He gets that from the division of back. I don't know.
Division of labor.
Yeah. These are getting exponentially funnier.
They explode exponentially into my brain. Are we ready to go?
We're going.
We are so ready.
All right.
On your mark.
Speaking Respectfully podcast beginning in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Piney Pastors podcast. I'm Steve Haupt, and to my right is...
Nathan Smith.
Yes.
You see what I have to deal with in these meetings.
And to his right is me, Jason Meyer.
Which is to Steve's left.
Yes.
Got that figured.
Exactly. We are the three vertices of a triangle here this morning. Well, today we want to talk about the topic of speaking respectfully to your spouse. We decided to speak on this today because just in counseling with various couples over the past few years, we've discovered that to be a problem. And so we thought, hey, maybe it's a problem in other marriages that we're not counseling. And so
it's really not a problem in our marriage.
No,
right?
No.
There's all other people.
And so we thought we would see to talk about this topic in a biblical way and look to see what the Bible has to say about that. And so that is what we are going to do. You know, I think I'm going to start in the book of Ephesians, if I may.
Oh.
You may.
Ephesians has some, at least, to say about marriage, but I'm going to go to the chapter that talks about how we should relate to each other in the church, Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to do that and read through it, and I want to apply it to marriages, because if we are married to someone who is a part of the church, then the way that we are to treat people within the church is also one of the ways that we should be relating to our spouses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to start in verse 25. Not everything that is here is going to apply directly, we're going to have something to say, but a lot of this does. And so I want to start in verse 25 where it says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." And I think earlier in the chapter it talked about speaking the truth in love. And so certainly a basis for how we for good godly communication within a marriage is to always be truthful, to be open with each other, to be vulnerable in speaking the truth, even when it might be hurtful,
mm-hmm.
but not to speak it in a hurtful way, but rather than in a loving way.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say that speaking the truth about each other, often in a heated argument, you can exaggerate things. You're not very careful with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes. You said, or you did, or this is always. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yep.
And so speaking the truth is a way to respect each other. It's a way to honor the Lord, and we should be careful with the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
And I think verse 26 applies And be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Jason, you were talking earlier that you had preached this particular passage when we were preaching through the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple of things. What were some of the points that you made in that sermon? I know you can remember them.
Yeah.
Well, that might apply to marriage.
Yeah, I think it does. And it's like you said, this is the context here is in the church, but it can apply to any relationship and to some degree. But yeah, the verse 26 is a command. It's not if you get angry or even when you get angry, but he's commanding you to be angry at, and in the context, it's be angry at sin. And it's not necessarily talking about, hey, we need to not only be about being angry at other people's sin, but sin in general, sin in the church, sin in our own hearts, sin in our marriages. We should be angry at sin, angry enough to do something about it. Mm-hmm. But that when we do something about it, we need to make sure we're not sinning in response. And so we should not have sinfully angry responses, but loving and humble and holy responses that are in anger. We should be angry about sin because sin dishonors God and it's destructive to our relationships. And it can hinder our witness to the world around us. And so we need to be angry at it. But when it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger, while it is a good general rule to not go to bed angry with your spouse, that's not what this passage is saying. It's saying be angry at sin to the point of action against sin and do it quickly. Don't let the sun go down in your anger.
Yeah.
When you're angry at sin, that thing that is causing your anger, take action and go and address it. That means if you need to confront somebody else, you do so. If it needs you need meaning, it means you need to confess and ask for forgiveness, you do so. This is a way of dealing with sin in the church and really in relationships. And so in verse 27, when it says, give no opportunity to the devil, I think he's talking about the same thing. If you just kind of let sin go, and how many relationships, how many marriages have they have the same struggles over and over and over and over again, partly because they don't really deal with the problem. They don't really deal with the root. They don't really deal with the sin. They address the symptoms and the circumstances and the emotions of it, but not the root of it. And so in doing so, they're giving the opportunity to the devil to attack them again and again and again. And sometimes that maybe things are addressed, that is that they're brought up, but there's no real forgiveness and or there's no real repentance. So there can be no reconciliation without both repentance and forgiveness. So
let me interrupt you. Just question here on verse 26. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. First of all, you think we should take that literally, like if you, something happens, you know, 30 seconds before the sun's going down, you gotta get it in there and make sure you take care of it. We got 30 seconds to deal with this.
No,
probably not.
I do not.
So what's the literally general idea there?
I think he's saying, as soon as possible.
Yeah,
like in a timely fashion, go after it and deal with it. It doesn't mean that if you're in an argument with your spouse that you don't take time to cool down. It doesn't mean you don't
follow up question.
Pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But it means that you're not going to be negligent. You're not going to be lazy and apathetic and indifferent to it.
Right.
You're not going to because it's hard work to really confront sin and to confess sin. But he's saying, do it. And do it now. Do it quickly.
Yeah. And the reason I ask that question is because I think some people already have like a hair trigger response.
Yeah.
And so they might see this as a justification for that and go, yeah, I need to take care of it now. So I'm going to say the first thing that comes to my mind because I don't want to let the sun go down on my anger, and I'm angry, and so I'm going to spout off right now.
Right. Or we can't go to sleep. if we still have unresolved conflict. So you're staying up all night. We're going to have a four-hour conversation about this, right, and you got to get up
and
early
the
next morning
and worse
and
worse because you're exhausted.
Yeah, no, that's unwise and unloving. Often it's just being selfish because if you're the one who wants to deal with it, wants to talk it out.
Right.
Well, the Bible says you have to. That's not what that means. It means that you're going to deal with it appropriately in a timely fashion. You're going to get after it. You're not just going to let it. So sometimes that means, hey, it's Tuesday night, and we've had this some issue, some situation come up in our relationship. We got stuff going on. We got to get up early the next morning. We got stuff we got to do. I'm going to pray about it. I want you to pray about it. And then we have something going until Thursday night. We're going to talk about it, but we are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you set a time and you do that.
Yeah.
I think that would be an appropriate way to obey this this exhortation here. Not that because what happens if you have an argument in the evening after the sun has already gone down?
Mm-mm.
Then you got to wait. Oh, it's the next.
Oh, you got down. Yeah. You got a lot of time. Then.
Yeah.
So I think what I hear you guys saying is, don't get hung up on literally obeying this sun go down thing, but that the message behind this is, when there is sin in a relationship, and especially in a marriage relationship, that we need to be angry. First of all, be angry at the sin.
Yeah.
Rather than be angry at each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think a defining moment in my life as a school teacher, and then helped me as a parent and a husband, I think, as well, was that I was really angry at a student one day, and I responded to that student sinfully. And on my conference hour, when I was reflecting on that, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. And the question that I felt like I was being asked by the Holy Spirit is, why are you angry?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that I was angry that anyone would dare to not immediately obey what I said. I wasn't angry at that child and heartbroken over that child's sin.
Yeah.
I was angry that I deserved to be treated better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what happens a lot of times in marriages. We are angry at each other because of some pride and arrogance in our own selves, rather than being angry and heartbroken and grieved about the sin. And then the second thing, Jason, when you said, don't let the sun go down in your anger, that is really, if we were to try to phrase that in a positive way, we need to do something about it.
Right.
So then if we as husbands feel sinned against by our wives, you mean that it's not a good idea to go in the other room and give them the silent treatment?
No, that's a perfect idea.
Yeah.
For what not to do.
Although cooling down, you get, Nathan, I think you made a great point. There is, when emotions have flashed, a cool down period is really good. And may I suggest that while you're cooling down, that prayer and possibly scripture reading would be an excellent thing to do.
Instead of stewing over what your spouse just said or did, or what they, ooh, I'm going to say this next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
Get to work quickly of coming before the Lord and saying, would you change my heart? Help me to see how I should serve my spouse. And I do want to just say that the Bible gives us many other responses in addition to, not instead of, but in addition to anger about sin.
Mm-hmm.
We should, as you said, Psalm 119, verse 136, David says, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, in Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. And there is something right about being sad and weeping over sin, our own and the sin of others.
Yes.
We should lament sin, and we can also have a feeling of, and a true sense of hope in the midst of sin, because we have a Savior who has taken sin upon himself to the cross and been the conqueror of it. And so that we don't have to see it as a overwhelming defeat, that there will never get past this. You know, our marriage will never get better. I'll never change. They'll never change. Nothing can ever change. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Because of Jesus, we have hope that things can change and will change because he's done something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, anger should not be our only response to sin, but it should be a response.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know about you guys, if I was going to try to bend and twist verse 28 to fit this conversation, I would probably not do a good job. I was planning to skip over that and get to verse 29, unless you guys have something to say.
I am not a fan of bending and twisting scripture, so let's,
yeah, let's just jump 29. To 29.
29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
No need to bend or twist that one.
I feel like that many people have this, it may not be a stated conscious belief, but their actions say that they believe that they have the right to say anything they want to their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That and then that the justification for that is that they were angry or they were wronged or they were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say unequivocally right now,
yeah,
that's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Husbands and wives, you should speak respectfully to each other. You have no right and no business speaking demeaning words to each other, speaking even angry words directed toward each other, speaking disrespectfully to each other. You are commanded here in Scripture to speak respectfully, to speak in such a way that builds up, and speak in such a way that gives grace to those who hear.
And I think that's all the more important because in a marriage, we know each other very well, mm-hmm. and we know what hurts the other person. Mm-hmm. Yes. We know what to say,
right,
to push that button. And Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Mm-hmm. There are some things we just should not say.
Yes.
Even if it's true, or even if we think, well, I'm totally justified in saying this. I don't think we always are. And it's a matter of wisdom. We're not lying when we hold back and don't say some things. It's being wise and loving.
Yeah. Well, and is how we apply this verse 29 in Ephesians 4, mm-hmm. as fits the occasion. We can justify saying a lot of things because it may be true, but does it really fit the occasion?
Right.
Is it going to build up in that moment, in that conversation?
Is it going to get grace?
Yeah. In that particular tone and mood of the conversation, is it actually going to build up? Maybe it is something that needs to be said, but is my heart in the right place to say it?
Amen.
In a way that's going to actually be heard? Or yep. is it going to simply be received as defensiveness, which that's something to evaluate too, because it might be just deflecting, not wanting to hear something. So we right. come up with, well, let me build you up a little bit.
Well, verse 15 says we are to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But sometimes we forget the in love part.
Right.
And so a lot of people will justify what they say and how they say it by, well, it's the truth. Well, yeah, but...
Well, I love you, and it's true, so I'm going to say it.
Was it said in love? You know, was the purpose of saying that to help your spouse, to give grace to your spouse, to help your spouse see their sin and be convicted by it so that you may help lead them back to Christ in a forgiven relationship?
And how subtle in our minds and our hearts we can convince ourselves that what we're wanting to do is right and good. And there can be a difference in a marriage. You can have one who's very aggressive and they talk loudly. They talk a lot, or they can explode in their emotions. And the other person thinks, well, I'm better than that, but they're passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, but I'm not yelling. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one saying mean things, but it's instead of attacking through the front door, it's attacking through the back door in a hidden kind of way. And so sometimes it's actually worse because it gives the air of holiness and honoring God. But really, it's just trying to trip them up and say, well, I'm not yelling. Why are you yelling? Or you're talking this way. Why wouldn't you? I would never do that kind of attitude. And so, yeah, even when we say the right things, we need to make sure they're in love and that they're actually giving grace to those who hear.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're tearing them down, not building them up.
And not only are we tearing them down, but look at verse 30. We're grieving the Holy Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. So we've got to remember also that when we sin against our spouse with our mouths, we are first and foremost sinning against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to take that seriously. And as followers of Christ, we need to be showing our spouse and our children the example of how a godly person deals with disagreements, how a godly person deals with the sin of other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that I think we've been alluding to it, and maybe we've said it in some ways, but I think it's important to note that as couples, both husbands and wives, we have not only a right, but a responsibility to confront sin we see in each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to do it very carefully, wisely, humbly, lovingly. As Jesus said, we need to take the log out of our own eye first. Doesn't mean only, and then we do nothing else.
Right.
Then mm-hmm. we will be able to see clearly to take the speck mm-hmm. out of our brother's mm-hmm. eye. And so we should do that. But if we're taking the log out of our own eye first, seeing our sin as the bigger issue, as the thing that we need to deal with.
Amen. Yeah.
And then we come with that attitude and that heart and that frame of mind, we'll see their sin as a speck and not as a log.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be received a lot better. Even if it's not, we have to trust that sometimes when we're confronting sin, no matter how well you do it, how gentle you are, how wisely you speak, no matter how your heart is and how respectful all of your communication is, it's still not easy to hear. Mm-hmm. And so the first response that from your spouse is not always the last response, and it's not always the best response, but we should be humble to let them respond, process, I think, and be patient to let them process it. Because I think that a lot of times what happens in relationships, in our communication, is that we really don't trust God to deal, to shepherd mm-hmm. our spouses.
Exactly, yeah.
We feel like, I have to do this. If they won't change yep. unless I say this, unless I had to be forceful, I had to yell, I had to say this. Why? Because they're not going to change. They're not going to hear
mm-hmm.
me otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a message of just saying, I don't trust God enough that when I do things his way, he'll work it out.
And I think that's where a lot of disrespectful talk comes from.
Mm-hmm.
When a spouse wants their husband or wife to change, and they've made them aware of their sin, maybe initially it was
done the right way,
yeah. good, you know, right situation, good words, and maybe it was even received well. But if they don't change immediately, well, yeah. then they're like, well, did you not hear me? Okay, apparently I have to make this happen. So I'm going to nag at you. I'm going to throw little barbs at you just to remind you of, hey, you still haven't changed. You still haven't changed. This isn't, you're not any different. And that leads to verse 31 in Ephesians 4, bitterness,
yeah.
wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, and really it does come down to not trusting God to do the work of sanctification in your spouse, but instead feeling like, well, you know, going about it the right way didn't work, so I'm going to try the other ways, which is,
yeah.
you know, throwing whatever, shaming you, trying to guilt you into change.
Right. Whether it's aggressively or passive aggressively.
Right.
Yeah. And what you said, Steve, it grieves the Holy Spirit when we do that, because we're not submitting to him. We're not trusting in him. We're saying, I don't want to be used by the Holy Spirit to help them. I'm really going to take over for the Holy Spirit, which actually mm-hmm. hinders their growth, because it doesn't give them grace.
Right.
Grace is what they need to build them up. It doesn't build them up, it tears them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 31, we see in the same paragraph where we are commanded to be angry, which mm-hmm. we believe in the context means at sin, we're told to put away all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander, along with all malice. And that word slander leads me to another point that we wanted to make in this podcast, which is not just should we be respectfully speaking to our spouses, but we should always be respectfully speaking about our spouses.
Amen.
As we speak to other people about them. It's a very common malady in marriages where spouses are talking badly about their spouses to mm-hmm. to their friends,
yeah.
you know, and complaining about their wife or complaining about their husband, rather than building them up in love, not just to that person, but also building them up in love as you speak about them to other people. And
right.
And I would say, first of all, Nathan and Jason, that you guys encourage me in that constantly. By the way, that you guys speak about your wives, you guys are always speaking respectfully. And
you are of Sandy.
Mm-hmm. And it's encouraging, though. It's encouraging, and it's also exhorting when you hear other people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages you to do it, but also it says, look, this is how we should be speaking about our wives or our husbands. And but Jason, you did make a point about that a while ago when we were talking before the podcast, that sometimes it's easier to speak well about your spouse to others than it is to speak that way to them. You want to elaborate on that for just a minute?
Yeah, I think that it can sometimes, we have different reasons, different motivations in our heart all the time for why we do what we do and say what we say. And so sometimes in certain circles, like if I'm around you guys and you're both speaking well about your wife, it's going to be harder for me to speak negatively about my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be easier to speak positively. And so that's just a good, you know, peer pressure, but it goes either way. And yet, if you're in a group and you're talking about your spouse, it's just, oh yeah, they're like this. Oh yeah, mine does this. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's, you know what? This is how my wife responds. This is my husband does this too. And that's really good. And it can also almost be a way of bragging. Mm-hmm. And it can be a way of competition in relationships, or it can just be really natural and really sincere,
mm-hmm.
but it's less intimate than when you are actually talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, oh yeah, this guy did this really cool thing, and then I go up to them, it can feel more awkward, it can be more intimate and seem more intense, and the sincerity level is just enriched and deepened for me to say to them, hey, no joking, you know, because it's easy for us just to joke mm-hmm. and to make light of things, but to be really sincere and honest and say, I really appreciated what you did.
Yeah.
You did a great job at this. It's humbling to us mm-hmm. and it can be awkward, but it's really, really powerful too.
Mm-hmm.
In Proverbs, Amen. It talks about words fitly chosen are like apples of gold.
Mm-hmm.
There is both a value and a healing power to them, and it's nourishing. And so there is a kind of neutral talk. In verse 29, there's corrupting talk, and then there's building up talk.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a kind of neutral talk, which in a sense doesn't neither, and mm-hmm. it's worthless
yeah.
because it's always just very... we're not trying to tear down anybody. We're not trying to build anybody up. We're just kind of just shooting the breeze and talking about whatever. But as people of God, we need to be making sure that we are giving life, giving grace with our speech.
Yeah.
And
I think there's, in reality, I don't think we ever stay in neutral.
Right.
Especially in marriage.
It's only theoretical.
Close relationship, yeah. Where there's great potential for hurt and misunderstanding, that if we're not intentionally aiming towards building up, that we will default towards
yep.
negativity and tearing down.
So I think it would be a good practice in any relationship, but particularly in marriage and maybe in also the parenting relationship, to ponder, to meditate on ways that your spouse or your children bless you, to think about the ways that they demonstrate and exhibit the image of Christ in their lives, and then to tell them that.
Yeah.
There's nothing that is for me more uplifting than to hear my wife say something like that to me, and I know that I don't do it often enough to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me just encourage all those who are listening to, if you're married especially, to meditate on ways that your husband or your wife exhibit biblical, Christian, godly qualities, and then remind them of that often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for some people, just depending on what their relationship has been like, that might feel awkward just out of the blue to do that. So writing a note might be a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and might be really meaningful to your spouse. And the... marriage retreat this past weekend, one of the things that Ray Ortlund exhorted couples to be doing is to be praying together and to express thanks to God for our spouse, for things about our spouse. And that can be a challenging thing. Mm-hmm. That's an intimate thing as well. But if you're doing it and together, so not just, I tell God I'm thankful for you all the time, but to actually take time each day.
To pour out your heart in thanksgiving to God for your spouse.
Right.
In front of him, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that just verse 32 of Ephesians 4, when he says, be kind to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind to your spouse when you're speaking about them, when you're praying for them, when you're praying with them. You're kind to your spouse when you speak kind words to them and do kind actions for them. There's a lot of ways to be kind, but I think it's easy. It's just naturally easier for us to be kind to guests. Guests come in our home, we serve them. We want to make sure they have a pleasant stay. We, hey, can I serve you? Mm-hmm. I'll go out of my way and I'll sacrifice. No, you have this seat. No, hey, well, you can have the last piece of this. But in a marriage, you can get more and more comfortable to the point where it kind of a complacency sets in. And you forget to go out of your way to serve your spouse, mm-hmm. to be kind to them, to be to have a kind of respect that goes that you actually treat your spouse in greater ways than you would a guest.
Yeah. Was it in Romans 12 where Paul says outdo one another in showing honor? He's talking about within the church, but the marriage relationship is a more intimate relationship even than that amongst church members. And so we should be considering how can we outdo one another in our marriage and showing honor to the other.
Amen.
Both, I mean, I think honor is, I typically think of it as a public thing that you're honoring someone publicly. You can do that in private too, or even in front of your kids. Our kids should see that we honor our spouse.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of Proverbs 27:2, which says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. And I think one of the ways that we can be a blessing to our spouse is to, if we are expressing thanks to them and for them, they will feel less temptation to need to do that themselves. So I think it's a way of giving grace to our spouse to say, I recognize these things, so you don't have to put yourself forward. I not only recognize them, but I'm making them known. I'm telling other people about them, and I'm encouraging you with them. So you don't have to feel like, okay, I got to make sure that you notice what I'm doing. And because that's a temptation to feel like we have to, instead of just serving out of love, to serve and then make sure that we're noticed for it and thanked for it. Well, we can remove that temptation or at least help alleviate it for our spouse by being thankful for them, telling them.
And we often think that in order to get my spouse to stop acting a certain way or stop responding a certain way, or talking a certain way, that we need to often only when our anger is risen up within us and we come out, you know, speak out in lashing out in sinful kind of anger, that's the way to stop it. But Paul's telling us the positive way. Mm-hmm. If you want them to respond in a good way, then when they do, encourage them. And be polite and say thank you. Mm-hmm. If you're driving in a car and you let somebody over and they don't give you the wave, you're all like, what? Come on. And yet, we expect that kind of politeness, that I let you over, you should be saying thank you, this is how we should do things. But in marriage, we forget just sometimes the very simple politeness of saying please and saying thank you and saying no, you first, and I'll get that for you. And so just that kindness of how we speak and how we think and how we act needs to be an ongoing thing. And it leads to, not all by itself, but it can lead to greater and greater tenderheartedness, as it says in verse 32. Mm-hmm. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And I think the other side of that is, in order to keep your heart tender toward your spouse, soft toward your spouse, you need to forgive. True forgiveness. Bitterness is that hard-heartedness. Forgiveness, you know, keeps your heart tender.
Mm-hmm. And another, I think, important point to make, just because of the culture we live in, even just being in the Midwest and sarcastic humor being pretty common. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's in my mind because this is something that I had to learn, and I've learned it perfectly, by the way. Perfect, perfect application of this in my own life.
We'll ask Katie about that later.
Yeah. That jokes about your spouse is probably especially true. It could go either way, but maybe, I don't know. I'm just speaking out of my own experience. So I was going to say maybe it's more true that husbands do this, but it could go either way. But making jokes about your spouse in public is a terrible idea.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Probably anywhere, even in private, it's probably generally not a good thing. Amen. But in public, it is a terrible idea.
What if they're
idea.
Really funny?
Nope. Probably even worse if they're really funny.
Even worse. That's
so that everyone is laughing at your sweet wife. And
here's why
you're
I
having
think
a good
you might
time.
Be right, Nathan, that it would be more important for husbands to hear this. Because husbands are called to protect their wives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are making a joke about them to others in public, we're actually putting them to opening them up to be more vulnerable and hurt
right.
by other people.
Instead
and so I think that we have a responsibility to protect our wives. And it goes both ways, as you said. But
Well, and I, you know, wives are called to respect their husbands.
Right.
And it's hard to make a joke about your husband and him feel respected by
right.
that.
True.
In public.
Amen.
Nearly impossible.
But what happens when they do? What happens when you do receive unkindness and you do receive malice or slander or anger or wrath or bitterness from your spouse? The end of verse 32 is forgive. It's be kind mm-hmm. as you are forgiving one another,
mm-hmm.
as God in Christ forgave you. That is probably...
But Jason, how many times do we have to forgive? I mean, it seems
like seven, maybe?
No.
Yeah, seven would be a good number.
I tell you, not seven times, but seven times 70 or 77 times 777 or something like that. A lot.
Yeah.
More than you can count, Steve.
Amen. Yeah. And
because God in Christ has forgiven you
exactly.
that much and more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No matter what our spouse has how our spouse has offended us or disrespected us or hurt us, the gravity, the quantity of that sin is mm-hmm. minute, minuscule, infinitely small compared to mm-hmm. the offense that we have committed against the almighty, perfect, righteous God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ought to always be willing to forgive each other. You guys have anything other last thoughts you want to?
Well, just that as marriage is created by God to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church, how many times, right, if we just keep reading in Ephesians, how many times has Jesus responded with harsh sarcasm or a cutting remark to his bride, or a out of defensiveness, never.
Right.
Even the times in that we see in the Gospels where he was a little bit harsh with his disciples, it was always done in love.
To build them up.
To build them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was straightforward. That's part of the problem with sarcasm that has a little bit of a sting to it, is that we're half joking.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also half mad, and we want to play it off because we don't want to take the time to humbly and sincerely confront an issue, and so we'll just kind of make a joke about it, and it cuts, and we know it does, and we're okay with that. And instead of just coming straight forward and saying, "Hey, this is it," or if it's not that big of a deal, then you overlook it and mm-hmm. you say, "Maybe I'm the one who's being unnecessarily offended," but you don't always have to say it. And when you do, you should stay straightforward and humbly. Lovingly.
And I think what you just said, Jason, is maybe one other thing we should point out, because when we talked about speaking the truth in mm-hmm. love to each other, not every offense, not mm-hmm. every sin, not every whatever has to be confronted.
Right.
Sometimes it's to our glory to overlook an offense,
yes.
particularly in the marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember that we should be considering ourselves to be the chief sinner in that relationship.
Amen.
And then recognizing the depth and gravity of our own sin, we should be willing to forgive our spouse, even when in a situations where the forgiveness is not asked for. We should always be be forgiving, have a forgiving attitude.
Amen.
I wanted to just close then to say, husbands and wives, that we are encouraging you to speak the truth in love to each other. We are encouraging you, husbands and wives, to let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to your spouse. We want to encourage you to be kind, husbands and wives, to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And I think I would like to close this just with a short prayer for those who are listening.
Yeah.
Lord God, we are so thankful for this opportunity to speak into the lives of the people of Piney Ridge Church, or maybe even beyond. Lord, I pray that you will take these words that we have spoken, you will take your scripture, and that you will use it for your glory, that you will use it to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. Mm. And may that be manifest in our marriages. May our marriages shout to the church and shout to the world that we are portraying the love that Christ has for the church and that the church has for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.